Yes.
Oh, oh. Good morning, everyone. There we go. I'm just so eager to get the service started, as I know how hot you must all be feeling. Good morning, and welcome to worship here at St. John's Presbyterian Church in Cornwall, Ontario. And welcome to those who are joining us for the first time and for those who are joining us online. My name is Alex Plant, and I am filling in for Reverend Adams while he is away. And the next two services will be covered by Reverend Mark on August 17th and Reverend Ian on August 24th. If you have a pastoral care emergency, you can contact the church office or your church elder. And I'd like to invite Carol up for an announcement about a special event this coming weekend.
Good morning, everyone. As you are probably aware, St. John's is participating in the Doors Open for Cornwall and SD&G this coming weekend. And I just wanted to give you an update on it. We are in need of volunteers for the day. The times for Saturday are from 10 to 4, and Sunday from 12 to 4 after the church service. There'll be a sign-up sheet posted down by the kitchen. Some people have already indicated that they are willing to volunteer, but this is just to formalize it a little bit more. We've prepared a pamphlet that will be handed out. The public will be coming in up the steps, and there will be a table there welcoming them, and we have a sign-in sheet, because Doors Open likes to keep track of the numbers. And we will have a pamphlet, which may have been in your bulletin this morning, and it's just a brief outline of our history, the architect who made this church, a little bit about the organ, and we are Presbyterian, and something briefly about the windows, and the land acknowledgement is on the back. There'll be, all these topics will be enhanced inside the church, and when people will be coming in, they'll be coming in the door over there and around to see the windows. The window boards will be in the center aisle, so that they'll talk about the windows northeast, southwest. And we're looking forward to it. St. John's used to participate a number of years ago, and it's been decided to do it again. And we're excited about this. Regarding the Presbyterianism, it has been approved by the minister, the words that were used. And if anybody sees, the draft timeline is in the McClellan room, and if anybody sees any errors or omissions, could you please let us know before we make the final display? Okay, thank you.
And a reminder to our high school graduates, for those of you who are going on to post-secondary education, St. John's offers the Clifford McRae Bursary, which helps students in their pursuit of higher education. If you haven't already applied, please speak to the office. Application forms are due back by August 29th. And as we gather together for worship, we light the Christ candle as a visible sign and reminder that Christ is ever present with us as we align our hearts and minds to the worship of God's glory. I invite you to join together in the responsive call to worship. The words will appear before you on the screens. We gather together this day to offer ourselves to God's purpose.
God calls us to witness his glorious power.
Let us give thanks to God's steadfast love.
God satisfies those who hunger and thirst with good things.
We wait upon the Lord, who is our help and shield.
We gather to worship, trusting in God's holy name.
Let us come together in prayer. Let us pray. Holy God, through Jesus Christ, you have called us to be your people. You have bestowed upon us your holy purpose, giving our lives true meaning. You created the world and all that is in it, and you inspire reconciliation and renewal amongst all creation. We gather this day to worship and adore you, to be renewed in your spirit, taking our place as followers of Christ in the world. We seek your wisdom and guidance to lead us through the choices we face and the challenges that surround us. You are our God, and we offer you our entire selves, following in the footsteps of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Be with us as we worship you with our meditations and our acts of love and compassion. This we pray in your most glorious name. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 425, We Praise You, O God. The words will appear before you on the screens. Please be seated. Let us join our hearts and voices together as we say the prayer of confession. The words will appear before you on the screens. Faithful God, we confess that our choices do not always reflect your purpose for our lives. Our minds are often cluttered with pointless distractions, forgetting the faith that you have called us to witness. Our hearts are bounded by selfish emotions, failing to act in the ways taught by your Son, Jesus Christ. Our souls are burdened by the chaos around us, ignoring the presence of the Holy Spirit that follows us everywhere we go. Forgive us, O God, when we allow ourselves to fall into the grip of sin, separating us from your holy presence. Bring us out of isolation and embrace us with your mercy and grace. Renew our minds, hearts, and souls so we may love one another as you love us. Amen. Hear the good news that Christ has revealed to us. Despite our sinful actions, God has bestowed upon us the holy truth that we are forgiven through God's love in Jesus Christ. As we humbly seek God's mercy, know that through Jesus Christ, our sins are forgiven. Be at peace with God, with one another, and with yourself. Amen. Our next hymn is hymn number 500, Open My Eyes That I May See. The words will appear before you on the screens. Now, I don't believe I see any children in the congregation this morning. I'm sure there might be a few watching online. I hope everybody online is bracing the heat as much as we are, unless, of course, you come from a cold climate, in which case I wish I was there with you. The question that we're asking today has to do with a few things. One of them being preparation. What kinds of things do we prepare? Things like recipes. If you're planning on cooking or baking something, preparing your ingredients is very important. Otherwise, it could turn out not so great. What about vacation plans? Oh, that must be a really popular one this time of year. Having to figure out where to go, what to bring, when to go, where to go exactly. So are you gonna go to the beach? Are you gonna go to a nice restaurant? Are you gonna go do some touristy things? Are you gonna spend the day in a nice air-conditioned hotel lobby, perhaps? There's lots of things that we have to focus on when we prepare things. There's lots of things to pack, the right things to bring. And today we're going to be looking at the things that we use to prepare ourselves as we go about our daily lives as Christians and asking the question, are we bringing the right things with us? And are those things aligned with the love of Christ? Let us come together in prayer as we prepare ourselves to read from the scriptures. Let us pray. God of wisdom, speak to us through the teaching of Scripture. Challenge us and comfort us with the presence of your Holy Spirit so that we may feel your love, inspiring us to follow the teachings of Jesus Christ, your living word. Amen. And now I'd like to invite Trish to read this morning's scriptures.
First reading is from Isaiah chapter 1, verses 10 to 20. Hear the word of the Lord, you rulers of Sodom, Listen to the teaching of God, you people of Gomorrah. What to me is the multitude of your sacrifices? Says the Lord, I have had enough of burnt offerings, of rams, and the fat of fed beasts. I do not delight in the blood of bulls, or of the lambs, or of goats. When you come to appear before me, who asks this from your hand? Trample my courts no more. Bringing offerings is futile. Incense is an abomination to me. New moon and Sabbath and calling of convocation, I cannot endure solemn assemblies with iniquity. Your new moons and your appointed festivals my soul hates. They have become a burden to me. I am weary of bearing them. When you stretch out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Even though you make many prayers, I will not listen. Your hands are full of blood. Wash yourselves. Make yourselves clean. Remove your evil deeds before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rescue the oppressed. Defend the orphan. Plead for the widow. Come now, let us argue it out, says the Lord. If your sins are like scarlet, will they become like snow? If they are red like crimson, will they become like wool? If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. The next reading is responsive and is Psalm 50, verses 1 to 8 and 22 to 23. The Mighty One, God the Lord, speaks and summons the earth from the rising of the sun to its setting.
Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God shines forth.
Our God comes and does not keep silent. Before him is a devouring fire and a mighty tempest all around him.
He calls to the heavens above and to the earth, that he may judge his people.
Gather to me my faithful ones, who made a covenant with me by sacrifice. The heavens declare his righteousness, for God himself is judge. Selah. Hear, O my people, and I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God.
Not for your sacrifices do I rebuke you. Your burnt offerings are continually before me.
Mark this, then, you who forget God, or I will tear you apart, and there will be no one to deliver.
Those who bring thanksgiving as their sacrifice honor me. To those who go the right way,
I will show the salvation of God. And the next reading is from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 1 to 3 and 8 to 16. Now faith is assurance of the things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Indeed, by faith, our ancestors received approval. By faith, we understand that the worlds were prepared by the word of God, so that what is seen was made from things that are not visible. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to set out for a place that he was to receive as an inheritance, and he set out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he stayed for a time in the land he had been promised, as in a foreign land, living in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked forward to the city that has foundations, whose architect and builder is God. By faith, with Sarah's involvement, he received power of procreation, even though he was too old, because he considered him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one person, and this one as good as dead, descendants were born, as many as the stars of heaven and as the innumerable grains of sand by the seashore. All of these died in faith without having received the promises, but from a distance they saw and greeted them. They confessed that they were strangers and foreigners on the earth, for people who speak in this way make it clear that they are seeking a homeland. If they had been thinking of the land that they had left behind, they would have had opportunity to return. But as it is, they desire a better homeland, that is, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God. Indeed, he has prepared a city for them.
Our next hymn is number 382, Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart. The words will be on the screens. Our gospel reading is taken from the gospel according to Luke, chapter 12, reading verses 32 to 40. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet, so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit down to eat, and he will come and serve them. If he comes during the middle of the night or near dawn and finds them so, blessed are those slaves. But know this, if the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. You must also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God for his word to us. O Lord our God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, now and always. Amen. Are you prepared? Prepared for what? Well, there's a lot of things in our lives that require attention, and a lot of stuff that we need to get those tasks done. Opening this church, for example, on a Sunday morning, do you know how much work goes into opening the building for worship? Unlocking and opening the doors to let people into the building, with some doors being much easier to open than others. I commend the people who are able to open those massive doors at the front because they are a menace to handle. Sometimes you have to use an actual hammer to get those doors open. There's all the lights and the electrical equipment so that we can see in the sanctuary and remain relatively comfortable. Unless, of course, it's on a day like today, in which case, let us give thanks that we are not in direct sunlight. There's the bulletins and the slides that help keep us organized. There's the audiovisual system, something that I am personally very familiar with, a system that allows me to speak without having to shout like a drill sergeant addressing a bunch of troops. There's the coffee hour, where coffee, tea, and snacks are placed out for everyone to enjoy following the service, milk, cream, and sugar included. When we have Sunday school, teachers bring out the supplies they need for the activities that they have planned. There's the choir, their sheet music laid out on the piano, ready for them to use as they lend their voices to God's glory. And there are so many others that make worship possible. The greeters, the elevator operator, our librarian who runs the little library in the back, free for everyone to use, the custodian who helps to open the windows and keep the building clean, and in this case this morning pick up a few bats that have strayed into the sanctuary, those who count the offering and ensure that our gifts are brought to the bank for safekeeping. And I'm sure that I've forgotten at least one or two other people. And that doesn't even include what happens after worship or during the week. What about getting ready in your personal life? What are the sorts of things do you need to be ready for the day? What's in your bag, your purse, or your back pocket? My bag is not physically with me at the moment, but on a typical day, I have a few things I usually keep in my bag. I have my phone, my keys, and my wallet, the usual standard stuff. I also have a little sanitary kit that I put together that contains a mask, some hand sanitizer, and a mini antibacterial spray, something that I did not carry with me before 2020. I also like to keep a little package of facial tissue, something that I thankfully have not had to use, but I keep it just in case. I also usually bring a bottle of water and a power bank to charge my phone, and sometimes I'll bring earbuds to listen to music or podcasts. What do all of these items represent? Well, to me, most of these things represents service. If someone I'm with needs a facial tissue, I have a pack that's ready to go. If someone needs a drink of water, barring any illness that I may carry, I have a bottle that I'm willing to share. My sanitization kit, my power bank, all ready to be used either by myself or with someone I'm with. I'm prepared with the things in my bag to not just go about my business, but to render assistance if I need to. I may not be a walking hospital or a convenience store, but if someone I'm with needs something, I'm ready to help as best I can. This week's gospel reading is not a lesson on being prepared. We have the scouts for that. Instead, Jesus is urging us to look within ourselves, to examine our values, our actions, and even our possessions, to see if they align with his teaching. This week's reading starts off with a very strange opening line. "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Be afraid of what? Why does it start with that? And it's not just because we're starting in the middle of the chapter. It starts with this reminder because it's exactly that. It's a reminder. Each week we listen to a sermon that either calls us to a particular teaching or warns us about straying from Christ's path. Sometimes these sermons can feel like a lecture, and sometimes they are. But other times they serve as reminders of our mortality, our limitations as human beings, fallible to earthly challenges. Whether it's our fear of obstacles or our desire for easy comfort, we often find ourselves deviating from the central tenets of the Christian faith. So we gather each week in this place or online to realign ourselves, to reach out for God's goodness, so that we can continue to grow and nurture our community of faith in the act of worship. The opening line of Scripture serves as a reminder that no matter what challenges we face, personal or communal, we are called not to be afraid because God's hand is delivering the kingdom directly to us through Jesus Christ. No matter how much we worry or concern ourselves with problems and obstacles, we don't have to be afraid, because in the end, God will deliver us. And in that deliverance, Jesus tells his disciples to sell possessions and to give alms. Now, it's important to remember that Jesus isn't talking about selling every single one of our possessions. Unlike the cynics of the 4th century BC, Jesus' call to sell our possessions wasn't so that we could live in absolute freedom from the world, disconnected in a state of simplicity. Instead, he tells us, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." The things that we treasure, the objects that we possess, they're a reflection of our character. If our material possessions reflect vanity and selfishness, like buying gold-plated wristwatches or multi-million-dollar cars, it says a lot about who we are as a person and what our priorities are. In that case, showing off wealth in front of others. When our focus is on the wrong thing, it pulls us away from God's desired path. And this is where the middle passage comes in. "Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. Jesus calls us to keep those things that serve as treasures in heaven. But what are those treasures? It's simple. Ask yourself, what does God take delight in? Things like love, compassion, empathy, service, things that aid us in worshiping God, loving one another as we are loved. So when we prepare ourselves, whether it's for Sunday worship or our everyday lives, ask yourself, how am I preparing myself today? What are the things I need to live out Jesus' teachings? What can I remove from my life that doesn't help me to love? Yes, there are some things in our lives that comfort us and allow us to live happy and productive lives. When we own and use those things in moderation, with a clear purpose, owning things like an iPhone or a 60-inch television aren't inherently bad, so long as those possessions don't dictate how we live our lives. If our treasure is in heaven, no thief will take it away, and no moth will come to destroy it because it exists to facilitate our Christian mission. When we reject overconsumption, when we instead turn ourselves to the unfailing treasures in heaven, we take that first step forward to understand the true nature of Christian faith. Because it's not just about the treasures aiding our mission to share the gospel. Jesus takes it a step further and calls us to action. Be dressed for action and have your lamps lit. Be like those who are waiting for their master to return from the wedding banquet so that they may open the door for him as soon as he comes and knocks. In the ancient world, groups of warriors rotated the responsibility of keeping watch throughout the night, allowing some of the fighters to rest while others kept an eye out for approaching enemies. That kind of discipline continued throughout the centuries to the modern day, where guards rotate amongst themselves so that there's always at least one person alert in case of an attack. So too must we be dressed for action. So too must we summon the courage to discipline ourselves to anticipate Christ's return. Our faith calls upon us to serve. We cannot do so if we are not prepared to take action. When we allow ourselves to become apathetic to the needs of those around us, we have failed to take charge of our responsibilities as followers of Christ. When we sit by and fail to do our part in supporting the very community that we are a part of, we have failed to love. So too, when we fail to say no, when we are overwhelmed with responsibilities, something that I'm sure some of us, including myself, are intimately familiar with. We have failed to support ourselves, and ultimately, that hurts the community we serve. It would be like if a group of soldiers set up camp and only 2 out of 10 soldiers stayed awake to keep watch. I'm sure those 2 soldiers would feel exhausted to the point of falling asleep. But because those 8 other soldiers refused to step up and help keep watch, those 2 soldiers continue to watch until they hit their breaking point, because they know if they stop, they are in danger of attack. So too, when an opportunity to serve the community arises, are we going to hide ourselves? When we see members of our community struggling, Do we stand by and let them struggle? Our faith challenges us to stand ready with our heavenly treasures to welcome and serve the people we encounter, no matter who they are. Opportunities that come knocking at the door, like the master returning from the wedding banquet, calls for us to stand by, ready to open that door and welcome anyone who enters. Then the scripture tells us something absolutely incredible. Blessed are those slaves whom the master finds alert when he comes. Truly, I tell you, he will fasten his belt and have them sit to eat, and he will come and serve them. How incredibly strange to see a master fastening his belt, having his servants sitting down to eat, and seeing the master serve the slaves. Imagine if His Majesty King Charles III told his footman to sit at the table while the king goes to serve him tea. I bet the footman would be extremely confused and probably very nervous, because the king does not serve tea. He's far too important to be doing things like that. And yet Jesus tells us very plainly, when we prepare ourselves to serve, we will be served in turn. When we allow ourselves to step up and take up the call of service, we not only support the community around us, we allow the community to return the kindness with other forms of kindness. Sometimes it's as simple as a compliment. When we have our Doors Open event next weekend, as we offer hospitality to the people who visit our sanctuary, they will tell others about what they saw here. They may remember the beautiful stained glass windows. They may remember the beautiful wooden pews. But something they'll also take away with them when they leave is the generous and kind spirit that was offered to them by those who are volunteering. Christ then ends this part of Scripture with a warning: to be ready for the unexpected hour of Christ's return, not just in the physical sense, but in the unexpected opportunities that will arrive at our doorstep. There may be someone sitting in this very room or watching at this very moment, seeking an opportunity to join a community that shares love and compassion. And when we go forth from today's service of worship, that opportunity may present itself without you realizing it. If the owner of the house had known at what hour the thief was coming, he would not have let his house be broken into. If we knew when opportunities of service were going to happen, we wouldn't have to worry about missing them. So when we prepare ourselves, whether for worship or for everyday life, ask yourself three questions. First, do the things I have helped me share love and compassion with others? If not, use those items to serve others, or take a moment to declutter. It's quite a liberating experience. Second, am I ready to serve? If not, take time to prepare yourself. Reach out to others and seek opportunities to put your gifts and talents to good use. And third, am I focusing my service on the right things? If your priorities and motivations are set on earthly things like rules, traditions, and appearances. Take time to seek out Christ's path of hospitality and community. Remove the pride and vanity that blinds us, and embrace God's call for service. Are you ready to serve? Thanks be to God for his word to us. Amen. Our affirmation of faith is the Apostles' Creed. Let us join our voices together as we declare our faith in the witness of God's glory. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please be seated. Just as Christ calls us to be prepared for his return, so too are we called to help prepare our gifts and talents to be used in service of the good news. We take time in our worship to offer God a portion of the blessings that have been granted onto us, supporting the work of the church here in the community and around the world. Let us present our offerings with humble hearts. God, we offer these gifts to support the work of this, your most blessed church. Take these offerings, we pray. May they be used to bring your peace and mercy to all those we serve and inspire our gifts to bring you honor and glory through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us gather our hearts in prayer. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we give you thanks for the gift of life and breath encompassing your perfect creation. You formed us from your holy hand, tasking us with stewardship over your beautiful world, caring for one another. We give you thanks for the many gifts you freely give us. You give us the gift of listening, so we may hear your holy words echo through your work. You give us the gift of understanding, encouraging us to expand ourselves with love and compassion. You give us the gift of faith, standing firm with us in the face of challenge. As we stand firm in our faith in you, inspire us to hold true to the source of life and hope that is your most holy being. We give thanks for your guiding hand, leading us when we are blinded by hatred and fear, unable to see the path that you have laid before us. When we doubt your love, we pray that you support us as we center ourselves back to your desire for love. Renew our trust in you when so much is confusing and uncertain. We pray for those whose faith wavers, scared of the future that approaches them. Bless those who feel anxious, afraid, and nervous for what is to come. Grant them your serene peace and allow them to feel your tender care. We pray for those whose response to the unknown is impatience and anger. So much is changing. We often cling to the past, hoping to return to a time where society felt normal, when we knew what to do and how to do it. Grant us the courage to listen for your call and follow your lead. Grant us your wisdom so that we may discern your path for this church and our community. Bring us into the heart of Jesus Christ, the key to salvation, who freely gave his life to reunite us with your holy presence. And as we pray, we join our voices in the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thine kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 410, Joyful, Joyful, We Adore You. The words will be on the screens.
Oh,
Jesus says, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." Trusting in that promise, let us go out into the world to love God and to serve one another with peace and humility. And may the love of God, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. Amen.